Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Liberty Plays podcast. This is Eric Stahl, and I'm going to introduce our guests. Directly to my left and going around the table is...
Jacob Irish, Vice Chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
Chad Grimm. I ran for governor once.
Was on the ballot for the Illinois governorship?
2014.
Took on the two-party machine.
Did my best.
Has done more than most.
Followed it up. Be like, overall swell guy.
Overall swell guy.
Give yourself like a little title.
Yeah, you know.
My name is Jason Spires. I seen about this in the paper. This is my first meeting to the Libertarian Party.
What a liar. Rockstar in the Libertarian Party.
As long as you guys support health care for all, I'm down.
All right. We'll get into Jason's story if you don't know. Just let's go on.
Danny Maboff, now candidate for U.S. Senate in the Libertarian Party.
Woo! Excellent.
Dana Olson, Secretary for the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I'm Donnie Henry. I'm the Chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
And Donnie's kind of a pseudo-celebrity here in Peoria. He was mentioned twice on 1470 this week by Greg and Dan.
Greg is such a good friend to the party.
Do you get like a payment, like a nickel every time they say your name on there?
I should be paying them for the crap they're putting on the air from me. So.
All right. So we do this podcast directly after our monthly meeting, and this was the December meeting. There was people hanging from the rafters. This place was packed.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised when I walked in tonight. We had McLean County representing. We had Steve Sweese. We had Kevin Woodard, candidate for county auditor.
Yep.
Had Dan here, who had never met Dan before, came down. And Jason and Sheriff Asbell. Man, we got all kinds of stuff going on. How'd you do it, Donnie?
I don't know. I'm very lucky, and I honestly have to. I think this is all Jason Spires. You throw Jason Spires' name on the marquee, and it's a whole new ball.
The guy who randomly showed up here today.
Randomly showed up. The guy for Healthcare for All.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So no, it was really, really successful, and I think it showed. It was good.
Yeah. No, McLean County is great. They always come over here and help represent for us.
Yeah.
And you go over there and represent for them.
Absolutely.
We can talk about the meeting and maybe talk about why Jason was here and why Dan's here. You want to get in maybe Dan's story first?
Danny, tell us about yourself.
And you speak up because you're at the end of the table, so you're going to have to talk the loudest. I'm sorry, my friend.
I should lean in.
Yeah.
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to the listeners, man.
To the libertarian universe.
Yeah. This is a big universe then.
Yeah.
So as I described tonight, I'm a former candidate of the U.S. House of Representatives in the 14th District, which is up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, so from the Wisconsin border down to the Joliet area. I don't even know where to begin. As of recently, so just about a month ago, I did opt out of turning in my signatures for the petition period to become a candidate in the Republican Party to then pursue the Libertarian Senate race.
That's pretty awesome.
With the help of John Matthey. So shout out to John
Matthey. Yeah, John's a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
He's turned into a friend of mine since I met him, I think, in March of this year. And I think what John recognized in my campaign as a Republican in the 14th District was how I, in my opinion, was going against the grain and pitching ideas that tie to liberty that the Republican Party should stand for, but typically hasn't. As simple as the Constitution, but then also the consistency of applying the Constitution to many of the ideas and the on-the-issues type of ideas. So I'm new to the party from a formal perspective. Actually, I just became a member on November 11th as a member of the Illinois State Party.
Yeah, we all start somewhere.
Yeah. And then recently the National Party as well. Hey, Scott Horton, I don't know if anyone's a Scott Horton fan, but he's now a lifetime member due to the Hornberger movement. But I'm really excited. It's been really encouraging.
Cool.
And I'm ready to get going and hopefully can earn some support in March.
And you heard the legends of the Peoria meetings, and you're like, I had to come down and check it out, right?
So if I can comment on that, actually, I was talking to Donnie afterwards, and I said how important it is from my experience. So recently I was in Champaign, I was in Chicago, I was at Stateline, I've been in McHenry County, DuPage, and then
wow, imagine how much Fox this guy Valley. Would travel if he had opponents.
Fox Valley as well. And while they're all great chapters, today was actually an eye-opening experience just from a business perspective. I'm an HR manager and focused on a lot of process improvements within the organization, and told Donnie that he should standardize this meeting and apply it to the other chapters, whether it's sharing just the best practices or even taking his slideshow and just providing it to them and adding a different title slide to that, because it's a good opportunity to engage people and be a little bit more exciting in those meetings, especially if you have first-timers.
Yeah.
You want them to come back, and this is an opportunity. I want to come back next month.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
We welcome you.
Yes.
You know, we could standardize
it. I'm going to make the 2.5 hours per game.
Awesome. We could standardize it, and you could ship it out all over the state, and there'd still be that chapter that goes, I don't want to conform to what the rest of the party is doing,
not conformist.
Right?
Well, I do want to just say really quick that, you know, it took us a while to get here. So I do think it is a good idea. And I think and I've talked to Steve Cease about this, one of our agendas, one of our pieces of our agenda is to standardize meetings. You know, you can't have a meeting in a hometown buffet. It's just not a good idea. The food's probably good, just not very exciting. And you should do things that are exciting and fun and make people want to come. And so anybody out there listening, I mean, it's just, it takes time, and you'll develop what works for you. But yeah, try to make it exciting. I'm glad. Thanks for the feedback. That's
so
awesome.
Donnie, are you running for something in the state party?
I am. I'm running for vice chair.
We're going to talk about that maybe in a future meeting, I think.
Yeah.
Donnie and I agreed. He didn't want to hog this whole thing because we have a superstar amongst us.
Yes.
A guy who flew all the way from California.
I think they're talking about you.
Now, first off, anybody who's listened to this podcast before knows Jason Spires. Jason actually phoned in a show probably almost a year ago. We did a show with him when you first got to Stanford.
Yeah.
It was really great.
A year.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy smokes.
They ridiculed me for being lazy when they said, "What am I going to do to move libertarianism?" I said, "I'm going to focus on getting good grades." So.
No, you gave a great talk tonight, and it's funny how, you know, we think we know the whole story, but your story continues to grow and grow, and you enlighten us. I mean, could you share just a little bit of the details of that tonight?
Yeah. Basically, what I did is I didn't propose it this way because I honestly didn't write a speech, so I just got up and started talking. But
he does well.
I basically told you about the last year at Stanford, and like to name drop, I met some important people, and I was able to network with them. And one of those important people was Salman Khan of Khan Academy. Mm-hmm. And right now, I've been able to leverage that to try and work on increasing educational opportunities for people that otherwise wouldn't have it. And I have a plan for what I'd like to do with IDOC, with Khan Academy, where they can stream their videos to the prison system so that people who can't get access to GED classes due to a wait list being too long would be able to access Khan Academy videos through their cell.
Yeah.
And the libertarian argument I'd make for that is GED classes are paid for with tax dollars, so anything we can do to improve the system where people can gain their knowledge with less tax dollars being spent, I think that's a good idea.
But free market solutions, right? I mean, it's just,
And Khan Academy is a non-profit, you know, and they don't rely upon government. So.
Yeah. So you're on the Stanford paper?
Yeah, so I'm technically president of the Stanford Libertarians. I kind of actually want to hand that off, though, because I just wanted to get it started.
Yeah.
I want someone who's actually of college age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Running it.
A traditional student?
I just did the footwork, just like Donnie does a lot of work as chairman and gets this going. And, you know, Dana's done a lot of work with the messaging. Mm-hmm.
Are you saying Donnie's leaving? Is that what you're saying?
Not going anywhere.
Okay, all right, just checking.
But
Well, there is a vote in a few months.
Yeah, unless I get to, if they accept me into Stanford, they probably won't.
Or voting on the ballot for Donnie for
But while I was there,
I can't help it. I'm sorry, man.
But while I was there, Ben Shapiro came to campus, and that caused a spark and a flare-up with people saying that Stanford shouldn't tell them they belong here if they're going to invite people like Ben Shapiro to come speak. And I argued that they didn't invite people like Ben Shapiro to speak. The Stanford Republicans invited them. And do you want the university to tell students that they can't have speakers come?
Yeah.
And so I wrote an article in the paper, the Stanford Review, which is funded by Peter Thiel. I was able to have a meeting, or I'm not going to call it a meeting. I was able to have run-ins with Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So life's interesting. I'm meeting all the right people. Nikki Haley convinced me to declare CS as a major. So that was it. I should say Ambassador Haley. So
yeah, Ambassador.
I'm name-dropping like crazy, so I'm going to stop. But I also met this guy named Chad Grimm a couple years ago.
Jason, let me ask you
this. I met this guy, Jason Spires, a couple years ago. So if you really want to name drop.
Jason Inspires.
I'm just interested. So is the PC culture out of control on college campuses? Is it as crazy as we're hearing
Stanford.
On, you know?
I'm not going to, believe it or not, Stanford is not nearly as liberal as a lot of the mainstream colleges you think of. Like, if you go to UC Berkeley, they're a lot more liberal.
Yeah.
And I think the reason Stanford's not so obsessed with it is because they're so involved in the tech and there's so much money there that, like, a lot of people aren't worried about that.
Yeah.
Like, the PC culture is there. It's the people that feel their privilege and feel guilty for it, you know what I mean? Because they didn't earn anything like their parents have. They've just been growing up rich.
Yeah.
And so that they feel the need to try and give back and make a difference in society because they, you know, they understand.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys have been in this little room, and it's been, like, quite chaotic out here.
That is the friendly staff at W.E. Sullivan's at Peoria Heights.
They're always taking care of us.
Which I should have spoken to when we first started the episode, because we do the meetings here every month. So, anyway. Sorry, Jason.
But the culture out there in Stanford really is not that bad. And you have to remember that I think the saying goes that, you know, when you're 18, if you're not a Democrat, you don't got a heart. And when you're 50, if you're not a Libertarian, you just don't got a brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think I might have changed that a little bit.
But it's true.
For the better.
But it's true. But Stanford actually has a pretty good culture. They got a lot, like, you got to keep in mind, Milton Friedman was there.
Yeah.
Right now, John Taylor's there, which, you know, is a Republican, but Trump considered him to be chairman of the Fed. So conservative ain't what it should be, but there's a lot of quote-unquote conservative thinkers on the campus, so I don't think it's as bad as Stanford's other places.
I saw some of your travels throughout the year, so I got to be honest with you. You coming back to Peoria for the weather and the atmosphere, I can't even believe you'd come back here. I mean, is this the last time we see you?
Dude, once Donnie smiles at you like that, you just can't stay away.
Oh man.
He's such a charmer. Yeah. He was charming Sheriff Asbell. He's charming me. Irresistible.
So that leads to another thing. Yeah.
If I was taller, I'd really be able to do that.
Yeah, the charisma.
I feel like there's
a bromance?
I feel like you're definitely going to be here in March, though, for the convention.
True.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah. Yes.
I am planning to be here in March.
Good.
Okay. Wait, when is the march again?
Absent.
13-14 March.
When is it?
13-14.
Oh, my God.
Is it 13th and 14th? I thought it was 11th.
Uh-oh. You booked the wrong night. Okay.
It's a weekend, so whatever it is.
Book it all.
So, okay,
you know what? You're welcome to come to Peoria from the 11th to
the 14th. You stay with us.
So one of the people who was in the room today was Sheriff Asbell, and we're talking about the laws changing, about cannabis being legal here, and Sheriff Asbell's a front runner on policies for this, but you guys got a little bromance going. I mean, you two are pals when you come to town, right?
Yeah.
He buys me policies.
Yeah.
That's great.
Look, I'm going to keep it real. When I got out of prison, I never anticipated having a chief of police and a sheriff both tracking me down to get my help for them to, you know, win a race.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is one of them came with it and was super sincere. And after he got whatever he wanted, he first thing he did is he called me up and was like, hey, when are you going to be in town next? We should have lunch.
Yeah.
So that's not my doing. That's him.
Yeah.
So
He's as cool and as real of a guy as we thought he was. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Sheriff Asbell is very special to our group.
Yeah.
Real's the key word.
Yeah.
Right, you know, right there. There's not a lot of politics going on, other than obviously what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Jason, you're mentioning especially with what's happening with Decatur.
Yeah.
How lucky we are to have Sheriff.
Well, because right now you got one of the Buffetts in Decatur basically buying the city, and they're going around like, At first, it was, we can't legalize cannabis because then we'll have to kill all these dogs we trained. And like, I was like, that doesn't make any that doesn't make any sense. And that ties back to Asbel, is because I was writing a thesis paper which got nominated for a lunch at Stanford on we should pardon all cannabis offenses. Mm-hmm. And one of the arguments I made is, you know, the argument is that we'll have to kill the dogs if we legalize them. And what went through my head is, even though I'm a libertarian, I'm all for, you know, prohibition not being a thing.
Yeah.
Why would you kill your dogs? Those are drugs. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you know, like...
You the, couldn't find a nice home yeah, for them? Yeah. I mean,
like,
what do we do?
You can't train them how to get bombs or, yeah. you know, things
or
like
or
that.
Or anything else, yeah.
Well, well you know, look, but, also, I mean, a lot of these dogs, like, they don't just... They're not just, like, sitting at the station or everything. Like, they're, like, with these guys like, all the time. Like, they live at their houses. Yeah. And, but, like, they do have, like, special regulations. Like, they maybe they stay outside or, like, you can't really, like, pet them like you do a normal dog. Like, leave them in your house, get them on your couch, like, stuff like that. But you still, like, you gain feelings for this dog. Like, you start to love this dog. So just killing the dogs is an argument.
Just
it's like, no.
Take them
like, it, you, like, well, kind of more hey, like, okay, if you're no longer a drug dog, you treat them more like well, a normal dog. And you don't have to, like, if they're no longer part of the police force.
And that's why
it's just a dumb argument.
And that's why I respect Asbel.
You already have a home.
When I called him up for a quote on it, he sent me this big old official statement. You know, where he's like, no. In my department, we would not kill the dogs. There's plenty of other things we can do.
Isn't it ridiculous they even have to say
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
like,
not going to kill the dogs.
But what I like is he's real about things, and he cuts through the crap. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, yeah, he's a Republican, but, like, I'll tell you what, he's not, like, a Republican in my eyes.
Yeah.
I think he's...
It was interesting to watch when in this on the news you would see the East Peoria. The comparison I saw is the East Peoria chief of police and then Sheriff Asbel. And one thought the sky was falling, and the other one was like, let's just calm down. This is not the end of the world.
Do you
it's not even that big
point.
Of a deal.
It gets better than that. His the Democrat that was running for sheriff against Asbel sent out a flyer going, Asbel's for legalization of cannabis.
Yeah.
What's he smoking?
What's he smoking?
Yeah. Why is the Democrat attacking the Republican?
Because it's central Illinois. That's why.
Yeah.
Our group almost outed him for his legalization attempt, but someone was stopped from doing that.
Yeah,
all right. Well, if you don't know the Jason Spires story, do you still have the website up and everything?
I actually bought jasonspires.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
I just don't have the page built yet. I'm
going
to learn how to do some front end stuff and do that.
How can they find out more about you?
You can go to 30 Years for Cannabis on Facebook. That's 30. Don't spell it out. 30 Years for Cannabis, or you can just look up Jason Spires. S-P-Y-R-E-S. I'm sure everyone listening is probably a Facebook friend.
But like his page if you haven't, for sure.
Yeah, no, and like I said, Jason Inspires will be the
Inspires,
new.
Yep.
Yeah. I own that one now. Every time somebody says
it. Yeah, you got to quickly buy that, Eric, before, you know, before Jason gets it.
A book that I wrote years ago.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Liberty Talk. Is I'm going to start calling it now the Donnie Henry Interactive Experience, okay? So
Jesus. You're just going in all kinds of
ways. That's an idea, man.
It's
idea.
The Liberty Talk.
Yeah, yeah, well, the Liberty Talk is pretty amazing.
And then we should add on Electric Bugaloo just for...
Okay, we can do that. Breaking 3, Donnie Henry. Yeah. It was the Afghanistan papers, and every month during the meeting, somebody gets up and they do a presentation. But again, yours was like an interactive masterpiece. Talk a little bit about the Afghanistan papers. Everybody kind of missed it while they were sleeping, right?
Yeah, so it's just crazy because we've been talking about this impeachment, and that's all anybody in the news has been talking about. But on December 9th, the Washington Post dropped a story where for 3 years they were battling to get these documents, which were inspector general interviews, after action reports, that were talking about basically outing that the federal government has been lying to us about Afghanistan. Shocking,
no
right?
way.
But I mean, to the point where even when we thought we were making progress over there, it was complete lies. The stats were lying. They were making the stats look like they were. I mean, generals were in these papers were talking about, like, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Sounds like some impeachable offenses.
It sounds like war crimes
sure
to me.
Sure does, war crimes.
And honestly, treason, if that's really what they were doing knowingly. I mean, it's an attack. And we've lost over 2,000 military members. 100,000 Afghanis have died.
Yeah.
And $2 trillion for what? For lies?
pretty much, because we didn't get any corn out of the deal, did we? Or soybeans.
Nor soybeans, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a great presentation. I would almost argue to you, Donnie, that we should record the Liberty Talks.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
And maybe share those online.
We could do that,
We kind of got away from it because we were being snobs. We're like, oh, you got to come to the meeting.
You got to come to the meeting.
Yeah. But,
and then people weren't coming to the meeting. So.
So let's share it, man. Yeah. For posterity, yeah. we should keep that going.
90s Blackhawk mentality, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Chicago Blackhawks.
It's like an NFL
for people that aren't from Chicago, that was a thing.
But you know what? You brought up a good point, is because, you know, you're talking about, like, I think that, like, is actually an impeachable offense, like war crimes, treason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially, like, impeachment's been, you know, so much in the news, especially with everything that's happening with Donald Trump. But all these, I feel like a lot of people talk about, like, oh, hey, like, okay, Dave Smith, I listened to his podcast. He's amazing if anyone wants to listen to him besides our podcast. He always mentions, like, saying, I would impeach these people for war crimes. And even Ron Paul in the 90s voted for Bill Clinton's impeachment specifically because of war crimes.
Yep.
And when everyone always talks about war crimes, you just say war crimes. Like, you don't actually understand what exactly that is. But I feel like what you just mentioned, like, specifically war crimes and treason, like, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's lying us into war, knowingly, like, deceiving the American population for a war that's unconstitutional, that is unfounded, and you don't even have an enemy, which is many of the quotes were like, we don't even know who we're fighting against, we don't even know who the enemy is, and we're just killing all these citizens, and we're spending all this money, and what was it, the last thing, you're like, Osama bin Laden will be like, happy in his grave.
Laughing in his watery
laughing
grave.
Laughing in his watery grave.
I mean, it's true.
Trauma 20 we spent.
Yeah. This whole impeachment thing, I just kept thinking to myself, this phone call has nothing in it.
We're going to get to the impeachment here.
But bottom line is that this entire thing is just a circus, and there are impeachable offenses, and they just dropped it.
It's political theory.
Well, I mean, the Afghanistan paper, everything you described, Dana, can go back to the 50s, 60s. We talked Korea. We talked Vietnam. I mean, there's war crimes all over the
place. The Pentagon Papers are the same. Yeah. It's our generation's Pentagon Papers. Yeah.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
It's and proof you know of deep state stuff.
Yes.
And
poof.
Anyway. And you know what's the most depressing part is that nobody is talking.
Not even the deep state people.
No one is talking about it.
You're not patriotic, Dana. If you don't believe it, you're not patriotic. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But it's just like even – that's where the whole thing, which is like, oh, the media. Like that there's this whole like facade and everything. And then you say like, oh, the media doesn't necessarily cover – you know, you start to talk about what the stories the media actually covers. And then you sound like a conspiracy theorist and like crazy. You're like – yeah, but let's think about the like what you were just talking about, the Afghanistan papers. It's like, that's crazy. We should be talking about this all the time. This is a huge story. This is the number one story. This is what everyone should be talking about. It has not been covered by anybody. It's
here
crazy.
Is what I suggest you share with people. If the real media has nothing to do with what we watch on TV. Our phones and computers, the way it tracks our activity... just encourage people to search the Afghan papers. What will happen is their social media feed will then think that you're interested in that. Here's this paper. That's how you get the information out.
It's true.
Literally just tell someone, please just do a Google search because it'll track them. Yeah. It'll, the phone will see, oh, they searched for this. They must like it. Here's your new news feed.
Yeah.
And it will feed it to them that way. It's insane what phones and shit do.
Yeah, but even like the stuff you click on, even on Facebook. It's pretty funny. Yeah. It's just always.
It's creepy.
Yeah. No, it is. Well,
you knew what our phones do, we would all be signed
here's
out.
Here's a fun little tidbit. So my dad is a little bit afraid of heights, and all he does is click on articles about people falling off of cliffs taking selfies.
Yeah.
And so all he sees in his newsfeed is people falling off of cliffs selfies.
It's exactly what I wanted to talk about with regards to no one's talking about it. Well, no one's talking about it. But if you just encourage someone to put it in their phone, it will show up.
Yeah.
The information will start showing
up. So we have to be the evangelist, so to speak. Yep. We have to talk about
everyone
this stuff.
Just search the Afghan papers.
And that's why we were bringing this up, is because we have to be the ones to put a spotlight on it, because no one else will.
Maybe there should be a Facebook post for LP, you know, for the Gary Pruitt. Just search the Afghan papers.
Yeah.
We'll just try not to make it as fun as you did in the meeting.
Yeah. No. Although I was having fun, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah. Okay, wait. A little backstory.
If you don't
though,
have a sense of humor, you're dying, man.
He had a fact or fiction quotes. Yeah. And especially, like, the first part was how much money we spent.
Yep. Yep.
Which was very interesting, but was fiction in fact.
Yeah.
And then quotes of the different presidents.
And the best part about the presidential quotes is it was between Bush, Obama, and Trump. And every time I read a Trump quote, everyone knew who it was.
It was transparent.
Because
at the eighth grade level.
Yeah.
It was the ellipses.
Yeah.
She used ellipses all the time.
And the word tremendous. Who else?
I got one right there.
Yeah. Fantastic, amazing, tremendous. Best of all time.
I'm like Trump.
Yeah. We're doing the greatest.
It's crazy. Anyway,
it was the best.
Final thing about the meeting, the Thomas Paine at the end. That was great. That was cool. You said you listened to a podcast from Morocco.
Mobituaries. And Thomas Paine, you guys enjoyed that?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. Very enlightening. And the quote at the very end you had up there on the wall was, "If there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my child may have peace."
Yeah.
That is a great, great quote. Because that basically is, let me have the stones to take care of my family.
And I think it's on us. And like I said to everyone, it's on us to take this burden now because we see it. We've identified the problem. And if we don't fix it, then our children will have to fix it.
Just being an activist, even coming to a meeting, even participating in stuff like this, just shows that you're out there willing to help. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, even if you don't even have children, it's just like...
Yeah, anybody you care about. The future. Yeah.
Benefiting
world.
Always the future and always thinking about the next step ahead.
But as absolutely. It is in the real world, everybody's like, if I have children, I'm more important, right? And that's how we all feel.
No, but she's right. She's right, though, because I think it's about leaving a legacy.
I'm just kidding. That's at work is when people take vacation for their kids. Kids. I get
vacation first.
Yeah.
So the Thomas Paine quote means more to me.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you're a smoker. You get more bridge.
Anyway, all right.
Oh, you have kids, so you can sell
Let's
me all
go
this,
down
like,
the rabbit hole, kids.
And bookshelves and like cookies and stuff. Yeah.
So that's our 1 hour meeting condensed into about 10 or 15 minutes. All right, so now we did want to talk about the biggest news of the day. It overshadowed the Afghanistan papers, the Trump impeachment.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Donnie, how do you feel about it?
So I just got to tell you, I was watching it yesterday, and I know that I'm strange, and I know that I'm like kind of like, I don't know why I do this to myself, but I was watching it, and I hear Nancy Pelosi and all these Democrats quoting the Constitution, and my mind was blown. I was disgusted, and I just couldn't even believe what I was hearing, that all of a sudden it's like they found Christ, they found the Constitution.
Yeah. And to the Republic for which it stands.
Although they've created secret courts, they've, put us into war without a declaration.
Yeah, and during this time they passed the Patriot Act again. It got renewed. Like, seriously.
Yeah, and again, did not get discussed at
Nothing.
All.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
But, okay, I mentioned this in the meeting, but it's something that I really want to mention again, is that Nancy Pelosi admitted in an interview that she knew that we were lied into the war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
But that's not an impeachable offense.
But that's not an impeachable offense with Bush. That is not an impeachable offense with Bush. But this call that was a little bit questionable at the same, like, it was a little bit questionable.
At the most.
At the most. That didn't end up amounting to anything.
Yeah, it didn't result
in an impeachable offense. But lying us into war and literally destroying a region, nations, killing families, children, all of those things, and lying to the American people, that is not an impeachable offense.
But can't we all agree that now that he's impeached and he's out of office, today was a bad day?
Yeah,
he was fired.
Mike Pence is going to do a great thing.
He was fired?
I was floored.
He's gone.
To see people, I will not name names, people that I know that are not libertarians, mind you, that literally thought that to be true, and that is the epitome of why we don't hear about the Afghan papers, why we don't hear about the Patriot Act getting renewed, because they literally this entire time thought that once that happens, he's done.
He's gone.
Are you?
You take the teeth out of the tiger, right? That didn't happen.
It shows the ignorance of the voters.
Very much so.
What bothers me is especially like people in Illinois should understand this process better because I'm interested. Even people in this room who I find pretty educated about politics, what was Blagojevich impeached for?
The specific crime?
What were some of the things Blagojevich was impeached for?
Well, it was corruption, right? It was from that phone call where he was trying
most
to
sell. Most people will talk about the phone call. I got this thing and it's effing gold.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But that's not what he was in. That might have been one of the things he was impeached for. They impeached him for trying to bring prescription drugs from Canada.
Really?
Yes, he got impeached for all kinds of things, which he did openly in his office, and people supported, and some didn't. But, yes, he did the other stuff, too. But when it came down to impeachment, most of the counts, I believe six of the counts, were things that he did openly and transparently. With.
I didn't know that.
One of them was trying to bring prescription drugs from Canada to Illinois.
Which libertarians would be
hang
all
on.
About.
That might be why we didn't pay attention. Hold tight. I got plenty to say on this in a moment, but I have to respond to that. The way our political system is set up as a whole, it's Stalinist by nature. And I'll go ahead and say that because it's show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And our laws are such that there's not one person, and somebody that has run multiple political campaigns in terms of finance and what's supposed to be done and the way that it's and the loophole, not loopholes, that's the wrong term, the loops that you have to jump through, there is no way that one single person that has ran for office successfully achieved that office and then served that office cannot be ripped out for anything because of the way that the laws are structured. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. That is how the two-party system keeps everybody in check. And I've got more to say about that.
I've never committed a crime in my life. But no, but what bothers me is I will agree that Blagojevich is corrupt. I agree that he's dirty. I don't think they had the evidence to prove that he was actually selling that seat. Did I think he was selling that seat?
He didn't do anything anybody else didn't do. Yeah.
But I think
George Ryan would have done it.
Anybody else would have done it.
As serious as this Trump impeachment feels, or not as serious to some people.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very serious
right?
to me.
The reality of it is, it has set precedent for future, the world that we're in, that I have a concern that if the two parties continue on this path, whoever's controlling will think of anything to do this.
Jacob, real quick, here's one thing that everybody has, or the media has been touting. This is only the third time. Okay, great. Here's the concern. And to address your point, the concern is that it was Johnson. It was Johnson.
Nixon.
Nixon never got impeached. It was Johnson.
Yep.
And then you go forward, what, 100 and I don't know, all the way to Clinton.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, you got another one.
Yeah. Yep.
So I will say, you know what? No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to blame any political party. I'm going to blame the system and the way that it's set up. And I'm also going to blame the ignorance of the voter. And that's really what it boils down to. We complain about our system, but it's the ignorance of the voter. And I don't really have a solution for that. However, you have three impeachments in American history, and two of them are 20 years apart. So, to your point, it's setting a precedent that every time there is an opposition party in the House of Congress to the president, again, show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
But the founders predicted this. And so, you know, I don't want to bore people with reading something, but I'm going to read something because I think it's important.
Oh, God,
this
Johnny.
But in Federalist 65.
He's pretty amazing from this, you know, speaking.
This is a Liberty Talk last month, and Greg Batten read it on 1470, and it's very relevant because, you know, Alexander Hamilton in Federal 65, he talked about impeachment and why we should have this as part of the Constitution, and he talked about why the Senate was so key, because he and this is, I quote, "In many cases, it will connect itself with the pre-existing factions and will enlist all the animosities, partialities, influence, and interest on one side or on the other, and in such cases, there will always be the greatest danger that the decision will be regulated more by the comparative strength of parties than by the real demonstrations of innocence or guilt." He knew that the House was too political to avoid that. So that's why the Senate is so key to this. And just like in every case that we've had for impeachment, the Senate has shut it down.
Well, we also destroyed the Senate and forgive me for not being, I didn't know this was the direction the conversation was going to take, but is it the 17th Amendment?
Are you talking about when senators started getting elected by the people?
Right.
Instead of state houses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the first step to failure. That wasn't supposed to be the way that it was.
But there's still a supermajority in the Senate, and I think that that's an important piece of that. Very rarely do we ever have a supermajority in the Senate. And so I still think that there's some bit of wisdom there with that the founders saw this coming and they knew that this was going to be the case, and we haven't really actually removed someone from office, you know?
The thing that bothers me is when Trump actually did commit a crime, or I'm not going to argue it, but I believe he really obstructed justice. People mm-hmm. have their own thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But then a phone call happened, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I think they really just think he's going to win again in 2020.
Is that...
This is political theater.
So that leads to the next question. That leads to the next question, though.
I'm with you.
Jason, this leads to the next question. Does this steal the Trump voters? Does this make everybody even more partisan now at this point?
The Trump voters aren't paying attention to anything going on. All they're paying attention to is you're hurting my guy.
Yeah. And they will go out and vote because of it.
I'm telling you this. That's exactly what will happen. I'm sitting in prison, right? Mm-hmm. Trump comes down that escalator of glory in Trump Tower and says that not all, well, most, but some are good people with Mexicans. I messed it up. But, look. And I seen people that literally did not even know who John Kerry was. And this is a guy that was in a, you know, I mean, like, a decorated war hero who ran for president in 2004 as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. These people never voted in their life were rabid Trump supporters and mm-hmm. come to me, like, explain this to me and want to know all this stuff. People always say we want political engagement. We wish the people who didn't vote would get involved. It happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Okay? So the thing is, I'm going to tell you this because my uncle's a Trump supporter. I have other people in my family are Trump supporters. Paul Drew's a Trump supporter, but he's pretty bold. I don't think he's a Trump supporter now, but he was leaning that way.
He's Trump friendly, and a lot of people are.
I voted for Trump and friendly. I'm going to vote for him again, and I'll explain why later. But go ahead.
My whole point is this whole impeachment, if they impeach him and they make it so he can't run for office, so that if they actually impeach him, but
it's not going to happen.
But the actual Trump voter is not going to not vote for him. If anything, they've energized his base.
The people that would have stayed home now going to go out and throw.
And the people that were going to vote against were already going to vote against him just for
any fucking.
Yep.
See, okay, but and so they're the same
people think that he was already impeached, so he can't run again. So they have no intention of following it. And I'm telling you, this has won him the election.
A lot of you guys have mentioned. Is that like he could like we what we've impeached him over is the dumbest shit ever. Mm-hmm. It's just so dumb mm-hmm. because especially like we could have impeached him over war crimes.
We could have
impeached him over war crimes. This whole like Afghanistan papers.
Well, then you would have to explain.
And then also
we get Obama
exactly.
Too, yeah.
But let's just
Reagan,
okay.
And
how about this?
Carter.
Let's just talk about Yemen. Let's just talk about the fact that the Congress voted to get out of Yemen and then Trump vetoed it. He vetoed it. We could have impeached him over that. Yeah. That would have been an actual significant thing that happened in American history of vetoing someone over that.
Power.
And we impeached him over this?
One big problem.
Are you kidding me?
One
over
big problem.
Yemen?
One
it's
big
horrible.
Problem. Because they're all complicit in that.
Oh, they
yes.
are.
Every
exactly.
single
they
are.
Exactly.
You even said
they
it today.
Knew.
You're like, we are the only party that's actually against the
yes,
wars.
Yes, because
the
they knew
one.
He would veto it and they would look okay.
Yeah.
It is,
and he lost nothing for doing it.
It is the military-industrial complex. Let's not pretend like both the parties aren't a part of it.
Yep. In the interest of time, Dana.
Let's table this.
It's true, though. I mean, it is absolutely true. Yeah.
I gave him that quote, by the way.
We had
it's a great quote.
We had a pregame.
We'll
teach
it.
A moment, by the way.
Yeah. So
we'll
if you ever hear that, we're going to table that. That means, shut up. Anyway. No.
It does. And please. For all the listeners out there, use that whenever you're trying to get someone to stop.
Google Afghanistan papers.
Yeah, please do.
Now, PolitiFact did write an article this week that said that this whole process has cost, $40 million. And PolitiFact is probably leaning left in everything I read. And by the time they boiled it down, they said, well, that's false. It's not true. If you use accuracy in this, it's probably only a couple million dollars because all of those federal workers were getting paid to do a job anyway, so they've used no additional resources. Mm. Now,
as a libertarian, I have to say, then that means those people probably weren't
their
doing
resources
anything.
Weren't being used effectively.
Yeah,
which means
exactly.
They're using resources.
So one of two things happened: either their job wasn't getting done, and that's going to be impactful, or it's not, and maybe they shouldn't be employed.
Exactly,
right,
that's
right.
The way
so,
I saw it.
The saddest part is when you read, you know, $40 million, like to the average person, like everyone sitting at this table, it's like $40 million is a huge waste, but. In the grand scheme of things, of what they spend money on, that's like buying a train ticket to Chicago.
It's nothing.
What was the Afghanistan war cost?
It's $2 trillion.
$2 trillion.
I mean, it's, that would be the equivalent of a McChicken without
the
lettuce.
That's the budget for one.
I mean, that's literally what that is.
That's the budget for just about a budget for one flying Air National Guard unit. I mean, and where there's 96 of them in the country.
Yeah.
So think about that. That's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We got anything more to say about this impeachment stuff?
It's crazy.
Do we want to hear why Chad's gonna vote, why Chad wants to vote for Trump? Or
I
want to
know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
because
the reason I would have to address you on that is because you're politically savvy.
Sure.
You know that Trump is not going to win the Electoral College in Illinois. So the only thing that goes through my head is a wasted vote is a vote in a state that's not a swing state if it's not a third-party vote.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you vote for Trump in a state that he cannot win the Electoral College or the Democrats?
Get him, Jason. Woo! Get him.
Yeah. Touche.
I got a P.O. box in Michigan.
Mighty libertarian of you.
I was going to vote in Illinois, Jason. I'll address this. Here's the thing, man. And for everybody listening and for everybody that's here, here's the deal. We need to kind of... I don't want to say not take ourselves so seriously, but for the sake of all of us that I believe are rational thinking human beings, we kind of got to not take ourselves so seriously so that we don't go insane. Okay, I mean we live in a world that we see differently, especially when it comes to politics. And the thing about Trump that I see is there's several things that bring me to the Libertarian Party, okay? One of them is that it's the party that closely aligns with my personal political beliefs. Notice how I said that. And I urge every Libertarian to – I see it on Facebook all the time, and I see it on social media.
I co-sign that.
Where folks will say, well, what's the Libertarian perspective? I'm a Libertarian. No, guys. Let's not be them. Let's have backbone and principle as the individual first.
Yep.
And then let's come to the Libertarian Party if it is the party that most aligns with us. It's not the other way around. If we flip it and make it the other way around, then we're no better than they are. So we have to bring ideas, we have to be respectful of one another, and we have to have dialogue through this. So to the point, now that
yeah, in the interest of time,
where's the time clock, Eric? Holy crap.
It works.
It's in here, man.
Oh, okay. So for the time crap, so
I'm telling you,
Jesus,
it's a great sci-fi movie.
Time crap.
He's making a good point. So
right. He is. You're making a very good point.
So my point to Trump is this is. The closest thing that somebody that is a libertarian can view, I don't say you have to agree with Trump. I don't say, you don't have to go to Trump rallies. Nothing like that. But this is the closest thing that we can see to what somebody that's elected outside of the big circle. And I call it a big circle because the Republicans and Democrats are one entity.
Yeah.
There is one wing of a party and the other wing of a party, and it's one big conglomerate, right? So this is the first view inside of what it looks like to elect somebody that comes in out of that space, right? So people are losing their goddamn minds. It's insane to me. You've got Republicans freaking out. You've got Democrats freaking out. You would think the world was changing. And can I ask anybody to tell me what in their personal life in the last 3 years has fucking changed? And there's not a goddamn person that's going to be able to give me any coherent thing that has changed in their personal life.
No, it's changed in my personal life.
Oh, okay. You're a special example.
Okay, but just to argue with that, really quick. So, okay, you were saying that, like, he acts like he's out of the space.
Yeah.
But what has he actually done that's out of the space? That's
well, I will say, too. Okay, that's so exactly I'll so I'll say. Touch on that. So what I will say that he's done is I can say that Bush was called a war criminal. And we can argue left or right if he was, or if he really knew he was lying, or if he was misled, or well,
Nancy
again, we
Pelosi can... confirmed she was briefed on lies for that
he
war.
He lives on a throne of lies. Bush does,
and he smells like beef and cheese.
So again, let me start from the beginning. Okay, so let me start from the beginning.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
So let me start from the beginning, and we'll try this point again.
No, I'm going to push you again. What has Trump done that has broken the establishment?
And earned
he's
your
done
vote.
Everything the same as Bush and Obama.
Well, no, he's not. He's been slightly less of a warmonger. Again, this has nothing to do with my support for Trump.
I have to contradict that because I've watched it firsthand, and we are over there just as much as we were before. Nothing's changed in the war.
Okay,
but next, if you have something else.
So then be it. Again, this is about perception. It's not about reality.
Yeah.
So the perception is. So I will. We could sit there and I could give examples and we could make this a 5-hour podcast.
I know you could.
However, that's not my intent. My intent is to. So then let's call it perception.
Sure.
It's the perception. He's not controlled by a political party. And this is the reaction we get from the political establishment when somebody that's never supposed to win, that's never supposed to see that seat. It was supposed to be Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton, and that was supposed to be a wash because they're controlled by the same entity. And as somebody that works in the banking industry and the insurance industry, I can tell you our country is run by the banks. Okay, it is one giant entity, and Trump scares the living shit out of them. Again, I don't give a shit about the facts.
Step into that one.
All right. How do
you care about the alternative? Yeah.
No.
Alternative facts.
Wait, hang on. I don't care about the facts because for my point,
facts don't care about your feelings.
It's the perception. It's the perception of the.
It's the perception
of what he is.
So, as
libertarians, we are witnessing how severe, how uphill the battle that we have is.
And I think that's the next logical step. So I get what you're saying, and I think we all agree that, yes, he kind of messed with the system, right? So the next logical step is break the system and then actually do something about it.
Live within the system the entire time. Everything he's done has been with other presidents.
I would disagree because I think his Asian policies, I think North Korea, I think the way he handles the UN, NAFTA, he's done a lot of stuff that's been a disruptor.
Hey, are you actually
you guys are going to hate me because I do not support the tariffs, but I'll give him some balls on what he's trying to do in China.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's got a good strategy.
But he's gone off party line by what he's done.
You know what he has done?
What he's doing.
Made us talk about him for the last 15 minutes.
That's what he does.
We're going to table that for another time.
I have to say something about the tariffs, Jason. And the thing about the tariffs is this. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Here's the thing. We're in the middle of a construction project. Every time the government closes a road down for construction, everybody bitches. It sucks. It's terrible. You gotta divert the way that you drive to work every day or the way that you drive to the grocery store. But then, when the road's done and you're able to drive through on good, clean roads, everybody's happy. So if the outcome is what the goal is, everyone will be happy. If it's not, yeah, you're right, it sucks.
And so, so here's the deal. We probably have 4 more years to find out if the construction project comes to fruition. So,
or if it just turns
so
into
we're going to find out. But I
Trump 2024.
This. But I'll tell you this. If nothing, if nothing...
That's a joke, by the way, for anybody that doesn't know me.
But Chad, I do think that...
I feel like I need to say that.
No, we're good.
A lot of people don't know I'm kidding. They're going to be listening.
I'll just say this, that if this doesn't, if by the end of 2024... If nothing's been changed fundamentally,
it's a failure.
It's a failure.
Absolutely.
And
agreed.
I hope that everybody then decides to vote Libertarian. That's all I'll say.
All right, all right. So we're going to put a, we're gonna put a pin in it, yeah. And we're going to come back to it later. In a month.
In the essence of time.
Depends if you come to the next meeting, Eric.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've seen Eric in like 3 months.
Out there, I
at
am throwing
moment,
shade.
Yeah.
I just want
Eric,
to
shut us down.
Yeah. Throw hey, shade all, has been thrown.
All I'm going to say is, without me, they can't get it done. It's sorry about that.
It's true.
Eric's
all right,
man.
All right. So are we good to end this
we're
thing?
Good.
Yeah,
yes.
We're good. Right? Yes.
LibertyPlays.com.
Yeah, well, we'll
I don't care about the facts.
LibertyPlays.com, facts be damned.
We need to chat his own page.
Joe,
if anyone right. out there, I love this man.
Jason is my boy. I love this cat.
All right, we're going to close this thing up. We're going to do the outro. Who's to me, to my left here?
Jacob Irish.
Chad Grimm.
Jason Spires.
How do they find you?
Healthcareforall.com. No, I'm joking. 30 years for cannabis on Facebook. Soon to be JasonSpires.com.
Cool.
Danny Mayloff, Danny2020.com.
Awesome.
You Dana Olson, no website.
Great amount to this.
Donnie Henry, Henry for Liberty on
yes,
Facebook.
Yes, yes. And Eric Stahl, your host. Guys, what's the website everybody should go to?
LibertyPlays.com.
Soon to get renovated, so yes. Look forward to that. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or LibertyPlays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.